From deep within enemy country of St. Louis, Missouri, this is Stuart, and you're listening to the IVMD podcast brought to you by proud Patreon supporters like me, as long as I don't get caught. Go Cubs!
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. On this episode, we're previewing the first game of the NLDS, which is Friday afternoon in St. Louis. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast. We're blabbing tonight.
Blabbing it up. Hi, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
So this is the fifth day in a row that we have released an episode. We're churning out the hits, guys. Or we're churning out something that rhymes with hits.
Perhaps. Is it quantity and quality?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure we provided much quality last night other than just being excited. Although it was kind of weird because, like, I think we got a lot of our excitement out last night before we pushed record. And then we started recording and we kind of, like, subdued ourselves.
Somebody tuning in for the first time are like, what are these guys doing? Don't they care?
yeah.
But my energy is down today.
Yeah, me too.
I'm a little low.
Yeah, I have a hangover for sure. I mean, and not an alcohol hangover, just an energy, like emotional hangover. Yeah. But
still, though, I mean, I've been watching like Pat's call of Schwarber's home run. I've watched that about 5 or 6 times today.
Yeah, Corey, tell us you didn't love that.
Yeah, that was awesome. Yeah. What, you think I don't like Pat Hughes? I didn't like
that. No, you hate Pat Hughes. You even hate Pat Hughes' home run calls.
Yeah, you've already taken get-out-the-tape measures.
No, I like that because what I like, what I don't like is when a ball is hit that hard and he says, this ball has a chance. I like it that one was just a no-doubter and he said, you know, his call was get-out-the-tape measure. So yeah. I liked that.
All right.
Yeah, and then he got real excited. Like the way he said Allegheny made me. he was so pumped. He's like almost couldn't say it.
That was in the Allegheny.
Quite a flourish.
Yeah, it was great. So I watched the vine of the bat throwdown.
That was nice.
Being referred to just over and over and over again.
Yeah, that one's getting a lot of loops.
Yep.
So we're just having a ton of fun talking about the postseason, and we've gotten a great response from listeners that you're enjoying these extra episodes. And so thanks for all of your kind words. It's been a really busy week just with doing IVMV stuff, and that's not on top of our regular jobs. I have really fallen behind in answering emails. So if you've emailed me or the show, I usually try to respond fairly quickly. If you've emailed us in the last week or so, just know that we got them. I probably read them and, I just haven't found the time to actually answer them yet, but I will get on that. So as long as the Cubs are in the postseason, we're going to be putting out, episodes. Of course, we will continue to podcast throughout the off season like we always do, but not at this frequency. We're not going to be doing 5 nights in a row in the off season. I'm sorry to tell you.
Yeah, if I'm rolling down here in December, I might be.
Right, just this just in, the three guys are now single again.
Yeah. We're just going to get an apartment together.
Wild and crazy guys.
We're just going to put up an apartment cam and just sit and talk about the Cubs all the time. I mean, this is our, if you've recently found us, this is our 7th season of podcasting on the Cubs. And, you know, we're not going to sit on our hands when the Cubs are in the playoffs for the first time in our podcasting careers. It's exciting and we want to talk about this team. And I know that all of you do too. So, you know, if you're talking with other Cubs fans in real life or on Facebook and forums, on Twitter, whatever, we'd really appreciate it if you would share our podcast with them. The easiest way to share the podcast is, especially if, with someone that's not real familiar with podcasting and listening to podcasts, then just tell them to download our free iOS or Android app, and then they can listen to the podcast directly from the app. So are you guys ready for game two Saturday afternoon in St. Louis? We're going to be there. Are you guys ready?
I don't think anything can prepare me for actually being there. I think it's going to be fairly novel experience. I've never taken in a game in the seating situation that we're going to be in.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Or the non-seating situation. Yeah, me too. I'm not sure what to expect. I'm super excited, but I'm not sure what to expect. Like, is it going to be hostile? Is it going to be kind of okay at the start? You know, however the game goes is probably going to determine how much flack we get, which, you know, I'm not worried about, but it should be interesting.
Well, and given recent history between the two teams, there's been some tension on the field. Will that spill over into the stands?
It's doubtful in game one, but
I don't know.
Two. I don't know.
I don't know. It should be fun. Here, so
I expect to be harassed.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Hopefully it's like...
If I wasn't, I'd be disappointed.
I was listening to the Sun Ranto show tonight, and Danny, when he was in Pittsburgh last night, got somebody threw a beer can at him, and he like swatted it away from his face.
Jeez.
I was like, oh man, I hope we don't encounter anything like that.
Yeah, if that happens, yeah. Hopefully I'm sober enough to not respond.
I'm guessing that was probably post-game, though.
I think it was like when things were kind of going downhill, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, given the fact that this is a series, I don't foresee anything like that.
Yeah, hopefully not. Yeah, so okay, if you were tuning in live yesterday, I mentioned that I tweaked my back at some point during the game yesterday. It may have been jumping up. I don't really know when or why it happened. But then this morning I woke up and I literally could not move. I could not get out of bed. And all I could think about was, I'm not going to get to go to these playoff games. This sucks. I'm not going to be able to go. So then I popped a muscle relaxer, and it kind of took effect, and I kind of started like playing out these scenarios of how I could make this happen. And I was like, well, I mean, I should be able to get into a wheelchair, and so maybe those guys can take me, and then they would put me in a wheelchair. Oh, but then maybe we'd be able to get better seats if we did that. And then I was like, well, I mean, like,
these are my two handlers.
I know. I know. And then I was thinking, I was like, well, I can't, like, I don't know. I have like, a, you know, I mean, it's probably wrong, but I have like, that's obviously, well, not really, because like that literally, like with where I was this morning, that was the only way I was going to be able to get into that game. Like this morning, I was just like, yep, there's no way I'm going. I'm going to have to get my ticket away. This
you
sucks.
You texted it to us. I was like, oh, here we go.
What if we could fit you in a Snuggie? Like if you're you were hanging off of me in a Snuggie.
A baby Bjorn. Back. A Corey Bjorn.
Yeah, there you go.
So
front then, facing or back facing?
So, I'd say front facing.
Face to face.
Yeah, face to face.
No, so then I'm thinking like, no, I can't do that. Like, I don't know. This is wrong, but like, it would be too much. I don't know. Maybe I have too much pride to like. I mean, I have to admit, I was in a wheelchair not that long ago because of my back, and it was like, I don't know. It's just it's that like. It's just not a, when you're incapable of doing like things that are very. Like normal, I guess.
Mundane.
Yeah, that you're so used to doing, it's kind of depressing. And I was like, no, I have too much pride to like be wheeled into a baseball game in a wheelchair so with like a shawl on my lap or something. I just can't do it, you know. But then I was thinking, well, but that would guarantee these other guys great seats. So maybe I just need to suck it up and do it, but then the muscle relaxers took over and we're good. So no wheelchairs necessary. So yeah, we are going to be there. And if you're going to be there, email me Corey@ivmv.com, Corey@ivmv.com. I already got like two or three emails today, people that are going to that game and want to meet up. You can also tweet at me @ivmv. We have standing room only tickets. And, maybe if, we can kind of get a group together, we can make some noise for the Cubs and watch each other's backs for flying beer cans. So, we do have one email to read here before we jump into everything, and this came from Laura, and it's entitled Cubs versus Cardinals with a bunch of exclamation points. It says, Laura says, this is really exciting, but I am concerned that my marriage that began just 5 months ago will end. My wife is a Cardinals fan, and I'm not sure how we are going to survive this. For some background information, our relationship almost ended in 2011 on the night that the Cardinals won the World Series. I was sitting on the couch, feeling sorry for myself and watching the clinching game with her, and she was justifiably really excited. I was completely exhausted and fed up after an entire postseason of listening to Tim McCarver and Joe Buck fawn over the Cardinals and their pretentious best in baseball fans, not to mention that traitor Ryan Terrio and holier than thou Tony La Russa. When the result was inevitable, I finally lost it. I got up from the couch, slammed a door, and said a lot of things that are not appropriate for your podcast. I undoubtedly acted like a small child throwing a tantrum, and to this day, she reminds me of how immature I was. All of that is said, is just a preface to say, what the hell are we supposed to do now that it's Cubs/Cardinals? We sat down last night and laid out some basic ground rules. Number one, we are watching in separate rooms in the house, and neither of us is allowed to yell loud enough for the other to hear. Two, before and after the games, we are not to speak of the game. So here are the things I need your help with. Number one, what should our social media policies be?
This is serious.
I love
it. When you first started reading it, I was like, oh, this is funny. Ha, ha, ha. And then I'm like, oh, wait, no, he's not joking.
I love this. So, Laura, first off,
I say just forget it and get a divorce, and then you don't have to worry about it.
Oh, jeez. but why don't they? I don't know. Why doesn't one of them go somewhere and watch the game?
That's what I'm kind of thinking. You know? Laura? Why don't you find you find a Cubs bar? She can find a Cardinals bar, and then you can shout. Like I don't think I could watch these games and not make noise. That would be too tough for me.
Yeah, I couldn't do that either. Although I did have to do a little bit of that last night with kids sleeping. I was doing a lot of like just fist pumping, rage, and weird claps that don't make noise.
Yeah. So. That would be embarrassing if somebody were taking video of me and my reactions because they're so stupid. But I have an idea. How about unfollow each other during the playoffs on Twitter, Instagram, unfriend each other on Facebook.
Yeah, but then somebody's gonna. Yeah, but then one of their friends is gonna see that and be like, "Oh man, they're on the rocks."
Yeah.
Well, just stay off Facebook and then just unfollow on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, or maybe just don't. Maybe just how about this? Leave Facebook and Instagram the way it is. And then, but Twitter, where you might be like actually tweeting during the game or commenting on it, that maybe you should block each other for the next week or so.
Yeah.
And then John in the chat says just mute each other on Facebook, which, yeah, just take each other's posts out of your timeline.
I'm sticking with divorce. So much easier.
Relationship status.
It's slightly more expensive, but. So it just kind of solves all the problems.
Okay, so here's the second question. We are actually going to a bar with friends on Saturday night for the game. All of them are neutral in our rivalry. I feel like we need rules. What do we do? Man, if you're in a bar in a public area, I think the rules go out the window.
Yeah.
It depends. Here's what you do. Is if the Cardinals are playing well, then you just, you know, really appeal to her softer side. And just, you know, could you... It's bad enough. Can you just take it easy on me? But if the Cubs are winning, just let her have it because because the Cardinals freaking deserve it.
Yeah. No mercy.
Yeah. I don't know. That's a tough situation. Yeah. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of Cubs-Cardinals relationships around here. Michael and Delana, she's a huge Cardinals fan. He's a huge Cubs fan. And I was talking with him today. I was kind of curious how things were in their household this morning. He said she says she doesn't care. I think that's, and let's get into this, kind of this, the where Cardinals fans are out right now, because she says she doesn't care. I think that if I didn't get any more information, that's all he really told me. So I would think that she's just kind of guarding herself for the inevitable disappointment. Like, oh, mechanism. We don't really care because we already have 11 anyway, so it doesn't really matter. Like, that's kind of
Well, that's what they'll all say when they lose.
Right. I did talk to another Cardinals fan today, and he admitted to me that he's concerned. And I think you would have to be if you're a Cardinals fan.
Yeah, for sure.
That's right.
All right. Well, if you're going to any postseason games at Wrigley, get your parking spot taken care of ahead of time by using the ParkWiz widget on the side of IVMV.com. It's going to be a nut house around there, so don't mess around with, you know, driving around trying to find a spot. Click on the game that you're going to, and then look for the options and pick the parking spot you want. You know, if you just roll into the neighborhood and try to find something, you're going to pay a fortune. I got our spot for Tuesday's game. I got it for $50, which is on the high end for, you know, regular season games. But I think that's a bargain when it comes to playoff games. They were, you know, I think you're going to pay for it, I think. So again, go to IVMV.com and choose the game in the ParkWiz widget on the side of the page. And also, if you want to sign up for ParkWiz and you want $10 off your first order, then email me, Corey, Corey, at IVMV.com, and I will get you that referral email. So we kind of have an idea of what the overall pitching matchups are going to be for this season. One of you guys want to kind of roll through that real quick?
Yeah, for the series, it looks like the pitching matchups are going to be, for game one, Lackey versus Lester. Game two, Garcia versus Hendricks. Game three, Arrieta versus Waka. And game four, Hamill versus Lynn. And so looks like we're going to see the Garcia Hendricks matchup and maybe the Hamill Lynn matchup.
But it's a question mark for game four, right? Like, they haven't come out and said it's going to be Hamill. That's kind of what we expect.
Yeah.
Well, we were talking before we went on here, but I feel that'd be tough to trot Hamill out there if you're in either situation in game four, if you're up 2-1 or down 2-1.
Yeah, if it's a must-win game.
Yep. If it's a must-win, you want Lester kind of getting his second start of the series.
If they're up, I would say, it's easier to try Hamill out there. I would, you know, and then you have Lester waiting in the wings if game five is needed.
Yeah, to me, I don't know. I just like if you could sort of better your chances of sealing the deal in four games versus letting it go to a fifth.
Right. Especially if that Mets, I haven't looked at the schedule exactly, but I mean, if it looks like that Mets Dodgers game might go five games, you might want to just get it taken care of in four, and then that way you can kind of use that extra day or two to position the rotation how you want it.
I mean, that would be ideal for the Cubs to take one of these games at least in St. Louis and then win the two at Wrigley and finish it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's what we're hoping for. We know that it's hard to beat the Cardinals at home, as they are 55-26 at home, and on the road they're 45-36, so kind of a similar record to the Cubs on the road. But what is encouraging is that in the last six games against the Cardinals, the Cubs are 4-2, and so as they've met later in the season, the Cubs seem to have these guys figured out. These teams met 19 times in the regular season. The season series went to the Cardinals. The Cubs, the record was Cubs 8-up and 11-down. But we know that the Cubs play well on the road too. In St. Louis, though, the Cubs played 10 games there, and they went 3-7. But like I said, I mean, the six most recent games, the Cubs looked pretty good against these guys. In St. Louis and at home.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I don't know, just as far as the numbers with the season series and especially game one, you know, we know that the Cards are tough at home.
Right. Yeah. So the Cardinals will be sending John Lackey to the mound in game one, as you said. So, Kurt, why don't you kind of get us up to speed on what kind of a year he's had and how the Cubs have fared against him?
Yeah, it'll be an interesting matchup with Lackey and Lester. You know, they're former teammates from Boston, and I guess they're pretty good friends, too. So that'll be kind of interesting. But, yeah, Lackey's a 36-year-old righty. He was 13-10 this year with a 2.77 ERA in 33 starts. His pitches are really, he's got all the fastballs. You got your four seamer, your two seamer, and your cutter. The cutter kind of like is a recent thing for him to use as much as he did or has this year. He's not going to blow you away, you know, the low 90s fastball, and then a slider in the mix as well. And he's, you know, he's been pretty reliable. It's probably good for six or seven innings. And then he starts to fade, you know, third time through the lineup like most pitchers do. The Cubs versus Lackey, they faced him three times this year. He gave up a fair number of hits at 19, but only allowed three runs off those 19 hits. So he was able to limit the damage in those three starts. His record was 2-0, and one of them was a no decision. And he went 7-plus in all three of those starts. Looking through the box scores of those games, you know, Coughlin and Soler had a fair amount of success against him. Nobody had a ton of success. Nobody really kind of lit him up this year as far as Cubs go. So we'll kind of – it'll be interesting to see what the lineup looks like against him.
Yeah, exactly how left-handed heavy Madden decides to make it and things like that.
Yeah, do you put Schwarber back out there, like in the two spot or something? On July 6th, Lester and Lackey actually faced off against each other. They both went seven innings. Lackey gave up six hits, but no runs. Struck out four and walked one. And Lester went seven, gave up just two hits, but two runs with eight strikeouts and two walks. So, and that was the game. I probably don't remember it, but Edwin came in the ninth, and dropped four runs. So Cubs lost 6-0. So actually looks like pretty terrible line at the end, but Lester pitched really well. But I think he gave up a home run I didn't actually look that up, but I think that's what it was.
Be very afraid, Cardinal fans. We don't have Jackson to put in the game anymore.
Just let you run away with it in the ninth. But yeah, I mean, Lester is not going to be like your dominant guy like Cole had been this year, but he's sort of like the more reliable, trusty veteran is going to go out there and battle.
You mean Lackey?
Lackey, I'm sorry. Yeah that's okay. What I meant.
Yeah, so staying on pitching, the Cubs are obviously sending out Lester on Friday. He had a decent year, but better than his record indicated. He had a 11-12 record. He had a 3.34 ERA, and his FIP was 2.92. He strikes out batters at a rate of just over 9 per 9 innings, and he walks batters at a rate of just over 2 per 9 innings. This season, he finished the season with 21 quality starts. There were only two other lefties in the National League that have more than 21 quality starts. That's Madison Bumgarner and Clayton Kershaw. So he finished the regular season with 207 strikeouts, and that was the fourth time in his career that he topped 200 strikeouts, and he set the Cubs organization's record for the strikeouts by a lefty. He does have some postseason experience. He's pitched in 14 postseason games. 12 of those were starts. I don't think that you can extract much information from his playoff appearances in 2007 and 08, 09, because those were so long ago. In 2013, he started 5 games for the Red Sox in the postseason. He had a 1.56 ERA, a 3.37 FIP. Pretty big difference there between the two. But last year was pretty ugly. He pitched one game for the A's. That was their wild card game. And in that game against the Royals, he gave up 6 runs on 8 hits, and he walked 2 in his 7 1/3 innings pitched. And looking at how he did against the Cardinals this year, he faced them 5 times. So opening night was obviously the first time he faced them. He went 4 1/3 innings, and he gave up 3 runs on 8 hits. He struck out 6 and walked 2. I mean, he only went 4 1/3 innings, but if you remember, he ended spring training not completely healthy. He had his dead arm and everything, and so he wasn't going to go deep in that game. The rest of the time, he's gone, you know, 7 innings. He went 7 innings 3 different times. So on May 6th, he went 7 innings, gave up 4 runs, one of them earned on 7 hits, struck out 6 and walked 2. On July 6th, he went 7 innings, gave up 2 runs, none of them earned on 2 hits. He struck out 8 and walked 2. On September 9th, he went 7 innings, gave up 1 run on 2 hits, struck out 7 and walked 1. And then on September 20th was probably his worst game against the Cardinals, his most recent. He went 6 innings and gave up 4 runs on 6 hits. He struck out 7 and walked 3. So, I mean, if you're looking at it, if you kind of throw out the dead arm game and this last game, you know, he gave up 1 earned run in one game, no earned runs in another, and then 1 run on September 9th. So he's pitched pretty well against the Cardinals. As a team, career-wise, the Cardinals are hitting 269 off of Lester. Hayward is probably somebody to look out for. He's batting 417 off Lester, 10 for 24 with 4 doubles and a home run. To me, he's the player that probably concerns me most in this offseason. He's always played the Cubs well. I mean, even back to when he was with the Braves, he's hit the Cubs well. Usually it's like these little like pipsqueak Cardinals players that step up in the postseason and become the heroes. But, I don't know. Hayward kind of scares me. Johnny Peralta, he's hitting 250, 10 for 40, but, 3 of those 10 hits were home runs. Holiday is 5 for 9 against him. And, those are some of the Cardinals that do best against Lester. As far as the ones that are not really very good, Randall Grichuk, he's 0 for 6 with 5 strikeouts. So that's good. Again, while Peralta, he has 10 hits off Lester, he also has 12 strikeouts. So I don't know, just kind of a little look at how some of the individual players have done against John Lester. As a whole this season and against the Cardinals, Lester seems to have some solid games. But he doesn't have the shutdown games like we've seen from Arrieta and that we've really come to rely on with Arrieta. I think the key for Lester is to keep his walks down and try to induce some weak contact. If the Cardinals get a lot of guys on base, it could be ugly because they've shown a real aggressiveness on the base paths with him. On the base paths in general, but especially with stolen bases. Lester has given up more stolen bases than anyone in baseball this year. He's given up 44, and the next closest is Tyson Ross with 7 fewer. And the Cardinals only rank 21st in stolen bases. They're not an especially fast team, but they play heads-up baseball, and if they can identify a weakness, they're the type of team that is absolutely going to try to take advantage of it. So I guess we'll transition to our keys of the game, for lack of a better term. I guess if we're doing more of these postseason these postseason preview episodes, maybe we should come up with something better than the keys to the game. I feel like that's already taken.
We just need like a fancy Sports Center graphic to animate.
Then it doesn't matter what you call it. Yeah,
you can have it sponsored, like the Budweiser keys to the game.
So I think. Again, like I just said, I think it's important for Lester to avoid walks, and I think it's important for him to avoid letting the Cardinals rack up consecutive hits off of him. Weak contact to induce some double plays would be nice. I'd love to see him toss over to first base at some point, and it doesn't even have to be close or anything, but I think just to keep the Cardinals honest. But then on the other hand, if you know, we know that throwing to first is an issue for Lester, and I don't want him to have anything to really distract him from the batter. And if, you know, especially if this game is on the road, I think if he, well, it is on the road, but I was thinking about for the whole series and really for all of the playoffs, for the games that he's pitching on the road, if he does happen to throw over to first and that ball gets away, I think the fans in the stands are just going to let him have it. And I could see that kind of, I mean, we think that Arrieta is unshakable, and he looked a little bit flustered last night at a couple different points. And so
agree
I think,
to disagree.
So but I think even though Lester has a ton of postseason experience and he might be able to weather that a little bit, I still think it's something. Obviously, that throw to first is not easy for him. So really, I think what it just boils down to is Lester needs to try to avoid consecutive hits, maybe just kind of spread them out, and then avoiding, you know, just avoiding the multiple hits in an inning. And then as far as offense goes, I think that the Cubs really need to play aggressively on offense, especially early in the game. And I think that their aggressiveness paid off in the wild card game. Fowler led off the game with a base hit. He stole second, and then Schwarber knocked him in. And when you do that, you've already got the other team on their heels. And the Cardinals have seen the Cubs jump all over them here, you know, or last month in September. The Andy, you mentioned that the Cubs went 4-2 against the Cardinals. And, I mean, the Cubs just jumped all over them, especially early in the games. I mean, think back to that, what I still call the Labor Day Massacre of 9-0. And then there was, I think it was the next Friday or the Friday, you know, the next series is a weekend, the Friday game, the Cubs scored 3 in the first inning and went on to win. And I think that the Cubs are going to need to just really jump on the Cardinals early so that they can get that little devil on the Cardinals' shoulders, you know, saying, oh, here we go again, and really just kind of get in their heads. I think the Cubs need to do that. And just a quick little stat to kind of back this stuff up, and this kind of goes without saying, we know that teams that score first perform better, you know, are more likely to win. But the Cubs this season are 72-18 when scoring first. So
wow.
Especially I think with, you know, coming up to bat in the first half of the inning, I would love to see them do exactly what they did in Pittsburgh, see them do that tomorrow night.
Yeah. And they've also shown the ability to get in the Cardinals' head lately this season too, as you mentioned. I mean, just think about that play where they had several guys rounding the bases and Yadier Molina is arguing with the ump,
yeah,
with his back to what's going on the field. I mean, clearly he and the Cardinals at that point were I just rattled, I guess. They had lost their composure.
Yeah.
And that was because of what the Cubs were doing on the field. And so I think they can do that. For me, when I was looking at the Cardinals pitching, which we know is good, you know, it's the really what has carried them this season, because when you look at their offensive statistics, nothing is that impressive or stands out that much. And so one thing that stood out to me is that Cards pitching has been second best when it comes to home runs per 9 innings given up in the entire major league. In the majors, I guess. And so we know that the Cubs have at times been fairly home run reliant. It's not like they've been really one dimensional or anything like that, but right. I think that the Cubs are going to have to be able to string hits together and knock in some runs, you know, via just a nice parade of hits at times in this series, as you know, the home run ball might not always be there.
Well, and it seems like that's how they did it in those games in September. I mean, if you think back to that Labor Day game, they were just getting tons of base hits off of them, right? I don't seem to remember any home runs early in that game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm up, right? So mine is really just a kind of repeat of what Corey said. I think they need to get to Lackey early, just like they did it with Cole. You know, make, even if it's not a huge cushion, just build a little confidence. And then as far as Lester goes, I think he needs to keep the ball in the ballpark. You know, he'll have a lot of great innings and then give up like a 2-run homer and, you know, kind of fall apart from there when he's, you know, maybe pitch five, six great innings and then kind of give up the bad inning. So keep the ball in the ballpark. And then also offensively, I think one of the superstars, like Rizzo or Bryant, needs to step up on the offensive side and do something. I'd love to see it from Rizzo. kind of get his confidence back. He was, you know, not seeing the ball well in the wild card game. And I think if he could sort of find his offense, the rest of the team really responds to when Rizzo is on. So I think that's important for him and or Bryant to kind of get on track offensively.
Yeah. In the chat here earlier, Nick asked a question about the playoffs being a crapshoot and asking if we could comment on that. I think the playoffs are a crapshoot. The nice thing is that we got through the most crapshooty game. Mm-hmm. We got, because it doesn't get more of a crap shot than a one game play in.
It's crapshooty.
But I think even a 5-game series, especially, you know, it's tough to be in a 5-game series and those first two games are on the road. And that can put a lot of pressure on you as a team. And I think right now the Cubs are playing better baseball than the Cardinals. I know that they are. And so that's why I think that this series is very winnable. But if they can't win one of the first two games in St. Louis, I think it's going to be really difficult to win the final three games when you might, you know, we're putting out, you have to like your matchups for maybe two of those final three games, but one of them we're probably not real huge on, mm-hmm. not real positive about that matchup, but they are, these playoffs are a crapshoot. I mean, look at the Blue Jays are, you know, kind of the team to, you know, that a lot of people are picking to come out of the American League, and they lost today. They got beat by the Rangers at home, and I said this before we started recording, so far in every postseason game the home team has lost. So I don't know, it's, if you can't count on home field advantage and you can't count on necessarily the better team winning, it's a crapshoot.
To me, that's what makes the playoffs so awesome, you know?
Right.
That's why they play the game.
Style of baseball. Yeah, that's why they play the game.
Sorry. I stepped on your good point for my stupid aphorism.
You got to give it 110% in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm pretty confident that the Cubs can win at least one of the two first games.
Yeah. I kind of want to end this episode with some positive thought. I mean, for myself, I'm not as nervous about this series as I was with that one game. I was a nervous wreck for that one game thing. I'm just excited about this series. I'm not really as like nervous about it. But for anybody out there that is nervous and is kind of like feeling like, oh no, we're gonna, you know, it's gonna suck if the Cardinals knock us out or something like that. Like, I'd kind of like to end this episode with some positivity and some reasons for you to think that everything is going to be okay and the Cubs have this thing. So, but just in general, I am so thrilled that the Cubs are playing the Cardinals in the postseason. I think that is awesome. I'm so excited about it. I love that we have to go through them. You know, they are them and the Giants are the they've owned Major League Baseball for the last number of years, and they have owned our division. And I love that we have to go directly through them to move on. And I love that they have to go through us, that we're right now the hottest team in baseball. And since, you know, for the last 6 weeks or whatever, when we've played, we've had their number. And when they've beaten us, it's been like by a run. And when we beat them, it's by a handful of runs. But I don't know. And another thing that I think is pretty amazing about it too is that if the Cubs win this series before they even get to the NLCS, to get to the NLCS, they will have eliminated a 98 win team and a 100 win team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's pretty amazing. Beat up on each other.
Yeah. Yeah, that it's crazy, but I just think it's exciting for all of us that live in downstate Illinois or areas where there's a mix of Cardinals fans and Cubs fans. you know, I love that I talked to a Cardinals fan I know today, and he said that he's concerned about this series. He doesn't have, you know, before when we've played the Cardinals, or even if I've talked about the Cubs getting to the postseason, I've got that, like, that condescending Cardinal fan smirk. You know, I get it from every Cardinal fan I know. If I talk anything, you know, if I talk positively about the Cubs, or hopefully, or, you know, if I have any hope or optimism, or if I say anything negative about the Cardinals, you know. But like I said earlier, if I'm a Cardinals fan, I think you have to be scared to death of this Cubs team. And it's a team that's playing great. They've won 9 games in a row. They have a potent offensive lineup. And I was looking today, the Cardinals went 14-17 in September and October. So since September 1st, they're 3 games under 500. And they went 2-4 against the Cubs in that time, like Andy said. And in those 6 games, they were outscored 36-20 by the Cubs.
Wow.
So I honestly think if you're a Cardinals fan and you're confident in this series, then all you're basing it on is the fact that you've appointed yourselves the best organization in baseball. Which is crazy because they won 100 games. But I don't know. I'm very, very optimistic about this series. And then, yeah. if the Cubs lose on Friday night, I will be the polar opposite.
Yes.
If Lester can't beat him, oh no, we have to rely on Hendrickson.
Hendrickson has been good the last.
He has been. He has been. You're right.
But yeah, I mean, it's who's playing the best baseball at the right time, and then don't forget too that the Cardinals are trying to work through and deal with some injuries and some key injuries too. And so I think it all adds up to a Cubs series win, in my opinion.
Yeah. So, you mentioned that you think the Cubs are going to win this series. Let's give our predictions for Friday night's game, the score, and then what you think will happen in this series.
I think the Cubs win Friday night 5-1. I think that the Cubs are going to win the series 3-1, and they're going to clinch in game 4 at Wrigley. Not clinch, but I'm sorry, win the series.
Yeah, I think they win Friday night, but it's much closer. Like, it's a much tougher game. I think Lester pitches really well, but I think Lackey does too. So I'm going to say 3-2 Cubs. Lester goes like 7 and gives up 2, and then the bullpen shuts it down. Or I'm sorry. Yeah, gives up 2, and then the bullpen shuts it down. So I think this is going to be a much more of a nail biter, but they come out on top. The series, I think I'm going to kind of repeat what Andy said. I think they win in 4.
Yeah. I think that Friday's game, game 1, I think the final score will be 8-7. And every time I make a prediction, you laugh about it, and then I end up being right.
No, I'm laughing with delight because I like that you went against conventional wisdom.
I don't like the 8-7 prediction because that means Lester gets lit up at some point.
I think, well, and I'm not saying that they're going to score 7 runs off Lester. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I think that the Cubs have scored runs. They've scored runs in St. Louis. And they've scored, you know, they've done well against, they haven't seen Lackey much, but they've done well against Cardinals pitching in the month of September. So I'm sticking with it, 8-7. And then I think they will go on to win the series in game 4 at Wrigley with Andy and me in the crowd.
And me weeping somewhere, probably in the air over.
But that's all right, Kurt, because we're going to get NLCS tickets. And you will be, yes, you will be there for NLCS.
We'll all be sitting separately, like in different sections of the ballpark. One ticket at a time.
Hey, whatever. I'll take it. I'll take it just to be in there. All right, so that does it for this episode, the Game 1, the NLDS Game 1 preview episode. If you've enjoyed this episode and you like what we're doing here at IVMV, then maybe consider supporting our show through Patreon. Patreon is like Kickstarter for bloggers and podcasters. You can show your support to the show with pledges of starting at $1 a month, and then they go up from there. There's perks at every level, and the perks get better as the levels go up. Check it out at patreon.com/IVMB. That's patreon.com/IVMB. Or you can go to IVMB.com and click on the Patreon link that's on the side of the page. So Friday night is game one. We probably won't do a post-game show for that one unless something so exciting happens that we decide to. Follow us on Twitter at IVMB to see the Blab notifications when we go live here in these postseason post-game shows. And you can also connect with us on Facebook. We're at IVMB.com/Facebook because we post it to there too. Game two is on Saturday night. We will be there, and we will record Sunday night to talk about the first two games of the series, and we'll be looking ahead to games three and four if game four is necessary. So thank you for listening. Tell a Cubs fan friend about us, what we're doing here, and until next time, go Cubs!